About 6 weeks ago today, I was praying and the Lord said to me, Joyce White Johnson has a message for the church. I said, okay. So I came in and I said, Joyce, do you have a message for the church? And she said, I don't know. Let me pray. And the next week she came back. She said, yes, I do. And so today we have the honor of hearing from our sister Joyce White Johnson.
Thank you. Good morning. How's everybody? I really could just ask if anybody needs prayer and sit down. Between Mary Beth and the exhortation that we received for communion and Apostle Al, they've already said all 8 pages. But that's how the Holy Spirit works. He's always lining us up. And that's one wonderful way that you're to know you're in the right place at the right time. I honor the Lord this morning. It is my extreme privilege to stand behind this music stand this morning. We have had, for some that my friends, the Gruta Darius, God bless them for being here, and others that have never been here before, some of the most anointed voices in the world have stood behind this. And we are a well-watered valley here at Shepherd's Heart. There is such a grace on us, and it brings me to tears sometimes how much the Lord just loves on us and the love that is here. I have been saved 43 years, and I said this at Casey's at holiday time, never fit anywhere till here. And I've been in churches of thousands, in leadership, a minister on staff, executive board, 8, 9, 10 ministries reporting to me, and never fit. How about that? Yeah, how you gonna do that, Al? You gonna be doing all this stuff, and people are blessed through you, and you don't fit. And the Lord just holds you there till you learn what you need to learn. And then he gives you grace to move on. And there's something learned, Dawn. There's something learned when we're humble and when we're obedient to stay until you learn what you need to learn. Because if you don't, you're going to go back. Right. He's going to send you right back till you learn it. And you got to leave in love. And you got to leave the right way. I have been in 2 other churches here, and there's not a church I can't return to with pastor's arms, not like this, because I did it the right way. And I honor the Lord for that. I'm just so blessed, and I honor Al and Casey and Pastor Ron and Lisa, who have true pastor's hearts. I smile when I see them. It just, you know, it's like a little kid when you come in the room when you're a little kid and your parents' eyes light up when they see you. That's how I feel when I see Pastor Ron and Lisa. Their eyes light up. They're glad to see me. They're glad to see my grandchildren when they're here. And that is a blessing that cannot be exchanged for a magnificent cathedral and cushy pews and thousands of people and pyrotechnics and fog and lights and all that stuff. Because in the long run, if the last 2 decades has taught us anything, is that stuff will get bottoms in the pews, but it won't keep them there. It's the love of God that's going to keep people in unity and keep them functioning together and keeping them understanding that sheep beget sheep. And they're the ones that are going to connect outside these 4 walls. I praise God for June being here today. My sister, my true sister in the Lord. She has walked with me through many things. I honor the Lord for Dawn Dell. I had Dawn and I do not see each other a lot, but we are connected in the spirit and have been for decades. I've told this story before, but the first time I saw Dawn, I was at a Joseph Garlington conference, and she came in, and Dawn has her own presence. When she comes in a room, I don't care if there's 2,000 people in there, you're going to notice Dawn Dell when she comes in. So when she came in, I kind of poked my friend, and I said, "Wow, who's the cool white woman with the spiked hairdo?" I said, she needs to know me, and I need to know her. And less than a year later, we were worshiping in the same place. It was just amazing how the Lord brought us together. And we don't talk very often. Her feet are not under my table. Mine are not under hers. We're not in the mall. But whenever Dawn needs me, it's just a text, pray regarding this. A phone call, pray regarding that. And I had mentioned to her that I'd be ministering. And we do contact one another when we need air coverage. So she called me the other day and she said, "I'm going to come." Which is an honor for me, because Dawn is a minister and a prophet in her own house with responsibilities. And I don't take it lightly that she took this time off this morning to be with me. I do also want to honor our friends from Wales, Peter and Polly. They were with us in our shepherding group on Tuesday, and it was just a distinct honor for me to be in their presence. There is just a sweet presence of the Lord, and God is up to something with those two folk, and he didn't just start. He's been up to something with them, and I'm just grateful now that I'll have a small part, because I just know that I was called to pray for them. And as I told them, not that I'm some big whip in that, but it, you know, when the Lord touches your heart like that, you know that it's for a specific reason. But I'm blessed today, and we're going to go to the Barbara Yoder School of Teaching today. Barbara has this thing of, she'll bring a CD, she'll bring a DVD, she'll teach for a while. Dawn and I are from the Billy Brim School of Teaching. Usually we have 15 translations, and we need, you know, a big podium, you know, that we can spread all of our Bibles out. But the Lord told me, he says, just put it in a handout. Don't drive yourself crazy with all your Bibles up there. So I'm learning, Dawn, but Bill, we learned from Billy, who's one of the best. So I praise God for that. But I want to just play this song for you. Where's Lou? Is he in here? He's always asking me when I have my earbuds, and he would not be in here now. He's always asking me, what are you listening to? And this is, this song is, I'm going to talk for a minute to see if he comes in. This song is number one in my rotation right now. It's a little jazzy at the beginning. So those of you that think you might pick up a demon, it's okay. Just listen to it. The lyrics will bless you. Okay. But, I was just woke up one morning, just particularly, you know how some days where you're just really reflective and you're just so grateful to the Lord, and just you're talking back to him and just telling him who he is and what he's done and all this stuff. And I got introduced to this song by my daughter, and I put the song on. And as Chuck Pierce would say, I was just messed up. I just couldn't get it together, because I just had a real new revelation of how awesome God is. That's a word that's so overused now. We saw it say, a suit is awesome, draperies are awesome. Wow, it just loses its importance. But God is the only thing that's awesome. He is, and he is not an awesome God, and you know, he is the awesome God. And so I do want you just to take a minute and listen to this song, and then we will move on further. And I just want to tell Polly, I'm still shouting Exodus. That was a good word from the Lord. I'm still shouting Exodus over things in my life and the lives of people that the Lord is prompting me, shouting Exodus from captivity to freedom. That was really good. That was really good. Praise the Lord. Lou, you're going to get to hear one of the songs that's on my iPod that you're always wanting to know what I'm listening to. Okay, go ahead and play it.
Somebody lift your hands.
It's okay to give it a little volume.
The greatness of our God. It's the worship song that says this: our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me.
Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Yes, keep me,
yes,
in the,
yes,
valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome. Think about it. Savior of the whole world.
He saved the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
Gave you salvation.
By his stripes.
And by his stripes, you're healed today. You're healed,
Dawn. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living.
His grace is why I'm living. Hallelujah.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Awesome is he to you today? How awesome. awesome is he? He is beyond description by words.
Yes.
Awesome in my life today. Hallelujah. When you get widowed at 37 from the love of your life, and you got 4 kids to raise, and you're living in a city where you don't even have a cousin, and the Lord says, stay right there, because I'm awesome. And you had planned for them to go to Ivy League schools.
Yes.
And God says, they're still going, because I'm awesome. And your husband has just died of a massive coronary. And your oldest son has a heart valve malfunction. Serious. And God says, just believe me, because I'm awesome.
That's right. Right.
So when you go in 2 months after your husband died for the checkup to see where you're going with surgery or whatever, the same cardiologist that told you, I'm sorry, we did everything we could, blah, blah, blah. He says, Mrs. Johnson, I don't understand. We can't find it. It's completely gone.
Amen.
His mitral valve is normal because God is awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome. And guess what? That same awesome God loves you. He didn't just start loving you when you found him. But he loved you before the foundation of the world.
Yes, he did.
And he loved you perfectly. So much so that he sent his son to die for you, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, when we were weak without any strength, before you got all deep and knew Greek and Hebrew, he loved you. And he still loves you when you're messing up, when you get up, fall down and get up. He still loves you. I remember when, this has been many, many, many years ago, I used to seek the Lord about the meaning, and I still do, about the meaning of the new year coming in. And I would get some kind of Reader's Digest version of it and put it on my answering machine. Back in the day when you had the answering machine and you had to stand over it and say your message and all that stuff. Back in those days, I'd do that. And I was seeking the Lord for that, a word for the new season. Then I was going to put that version of it. And all the Lord spoke to me that year was, know that you are totally forgiven and perfectly loved. And so I said, huh? I want something deep, Lord. Yes, I did. We get like that sometimes where this is too simple, you know. And the Lord said, Joyce, if you can just get a full revelation of being totally forgiven and perfectly loved, it'll revolutionize your walk with me.
Right.
So the church that I was in at that time, the apostle over that house knew that I had that habit. So he asked me, what did you get? I don't want to tell him this. But I get up on Sunday mornings and, you know, there's like 1,500 people there. And I said, the Lord says that you're totally forgiven and perfectly loved. And he gave me a few other brief sentences to expound on it. And there was a woman there who was in leadership and was not known for being the nicest person. And a few weeks later, there was like this complete change she went through. It was like she was a different person. And she came to me with this. She said, when you said that, you just don't know, it set me free. She said, and I made these little things, and they're bookmarks, and they're, and this has been on my refrigerator for years, because it's like Apostle Al said this morning, don't think whatever the Lord is giving you is so small and so insignificant. I mean, that little phrase completely changed this woman's life. And so when Al came to me and said, do you have a word? And that Sunday that I had prayed about it, and I came back to him and I said, he didn't tell you all of what I said because we had a visitor that Sunday. And he preached my message. And I said, well, I had one, but he just preached it. So Al said, well, you know. And then the Lord, and really what it is I've kept the same message. It's just that it just morphed a little bit. And then Pastor Lisa gets up last Sunday, and then she preaches it. And she's up preaching, and I'm like, come back, Lisa, come back, come back. You know, but that is what the Lord is talking, and he's saying the same thing. It's been in my daily devotionals. It's been, you know, everywhere you look, the Lord is trying to get us to understand that he loves you, and you don't have to hide from him. Run to him. Yeah. Don't run away from him. I don't care how awful, how dirty, how despicable you think it is, or how frightening the situation is, run to him. Don't run away from him. And I do want to get into this packet, because I have a habit of doing that, of just starting talking and never get into. But pretty much everything that I want to teach today is in this packet. I won't try to teach it all, because those of you that work tomorrow, I want you to be able to get home in time to shower and change. So I won't do that to you. But just to show you how the Lord is speaking, part of this is the last few pages is on being with God. The Lord wants us to be with him. We've been in this to and from mode. The Lord gave me a word on that a few weeks ago, a prophetic word, that he wanted us to move here in service, that he wants us to move beyond the pediatrics of coming to God to see what we can get from God, you know, to just being with him. It's like Rachel and Joshua just had a beautiful little baby, Bella, and she's gorgeous. And I'm sure the two nanas are like, you know, so, and because she is Rachel's daughter, I'm sure she only cries at a whisper, because Rachel is a lady, so I'm sure Bella's a lady too, you know. And I'm sure the two nanas and the Joshua and Rachel are running to supply her every need, you know, because they love her. But let's fast forward to 2027. Now, if Bella's still laying on the couch in the diapers crying for a bottle, we got a problem. I don't think Mary Beth's wanting to change that diaper. And it's the same thing with the Lord. He wants us to grow up. He wants us, at that stage, Bella should be, Dad, I just want to hang out with you because I love you so. Mom, can we just spend some time together today? Do you have today off? Can we spend some time together? That's what he's looking for. He wants us to just be with him. And he loves being with you. If I can say there's a benefit in my widowhood, is that I don't think I really understood before how much he loves me and how much he wants to be with me. Because when you're married and you got four kids, and my husband was in ministry, he worked corporate, he was a people person, he would talk to this piano and it would follow him home for dinner, you know. So we just had a lot of things going on, but I just really have a whole new appreciation of how much he loves me and how much he wants to be with me, and I don't have to be afraid. Yes, But I believe that a reason why we are not contending and being intentional about our time with the Lord is what Pastor Lisa said this morning. It's out of fear. We're afraid. We're listening to those tapes the enemy has playing in our heads about, you're not holy enough. Look what you thought yesterday. God doesn't want you in his presence, and he doesn't want to be in yours. And you need to wait until you can get that straightened out. Wait until you can overcome that. And for God's sake, don't let anybody know. And then that keeps you moving in that cycle of unworthiness and hiding and unworthiness and hiding and unworthiness and hiding. And a word came forth in regional prayer, and it was actually a word from Al regarding fear. And that is your first page, I believe. Yeah, your first page. And it says, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, if you will face your fears in the next 21 days, I will vanquish them. I will put them under the power of my blood, and I will laugh in the face of your enemies. I will cause you to be in a place in the crossroad where you should cross over with me. I tell you tonight that if you will stand with me for 21 days and face those things that have faced you, even those things from the past, even those hereditary things that are issues of your bloodline, I will vanquish the manifestation of fear. I will break it off you so that in freedom you can go forth boldly. I will make you to rise up in courage. In the courage of my presence, in the power of my strength, and you will cross over with me into the place where the new breaks open before you. Know that I have set the way. I have ordained you for such a time as this, and it is by my blood that I have broken the chain of fear off your life, says the Lord. Stand with me for 21 days and taste and see that I am good. And that will take us right up to Passover, those 21 days. That was just such a powerful word. And it went so hand in hand with what the Lord had been talking and speaking with me about. And that was the fact that we are totally forgiven and perfectly loved to move into this new season. But we've got to get rid of the fear. Dawn had a wonderful word, and we actually did a prophetic act of getting it under our feet when she said that we had to break off fear of man. That is such a thing in our region. That's a powerful demon in this region, that fear of man, and to the point where people's destinies are being altered because you're standing and operating in some gifting that God has not even ordained for you to be moving in this season. He's moved you on to something else, but they're so locked into your service in that, to your building, their thiefdom with that. Notice I didn't say kingdom, didn't say church. I said thiefdom, and that's what I meant. That they keep you locked into obedience to acts of service and duty and all of that. And I praise God that none of that, I've seen none of that since I've been in this house. It's exactly the opposite, empowerment and equipping to understand, know, and grow in your gifting so that you can be where God has appointed you to be in this season, anointed and functionally, effectively moving in that burden removing, yoke destroying anointing for which Christ died. He didn't die for us to be passive or out of place. He died for us to be on point and active in kingdom works. So I thank the Lord for that. Underneath that, you will see a Swahili word, and I did it phonetically for you too. It's usiogope. Usiogope. It's a Swahili word, and it means do not be afraid. And I don't know if we got everything working, but we do have the song on a DVD so that you can, we're going to go out to that today. So we can't do that. We can't listen to it. Okay. I tried. Okay. But anyway, you're listening to the word usiogope. And what I would advise you to do, I had ministered something about this to a women's group, and what I advised them to do was just, I actually had it on little placards for them, just put it on your bathroom mirror or someplace you know you're going to see when you go in and go out, so you see it at least once a day. Because I tell you, God is wanting to move us from a place of fear. It is imperative that we move out of this because of the where God is moving us. I won't say I know it's for everybody, but I know it's for this Western Gate, Dawn. There's something about this little remnant out here in this Western Gate. When I look and see, and I see folk, Dawn, we've been working with for, you know, they've been faithful. These are people that, I'm talking 2-3 decades, we've been touching and agreeing, and no matter how scattered we got, you were faithful and you were still interceding. And there's something about this Western Gate, even all the way over to the folk in Buffalo, like the Burkholders and, you know, some of those other folk over there that have just been faithful for decade and kept moving with the word of the Lord. They didn't get stuck anywhere. They kept moving. And I believe that the Lord is ready to break some things open. And I remember when Glory of Zion was going to, they were just thinking about buying the I-35 track at that time. And as one of Chuck's intercessors, some of us knew before everybody else knew that's what they were thinking of doing. And I had this vision of that Denton area, and it was points of light going out all over the world. And then there was light running along the earth, and then there was light going under the earth, and it was pushing out all in every direction. And not only did it under the earth, it's like it would go so far and then it would be like an explosion, like it was breaking through things, and you'd see the earth just pew, like that under the earth. So I sent Chuck an email and I told him, I said, this is what I saw, and I just believe as God that you're going to buy this land. And I told him, I said, well, I'm sending an offering because I want to sow into that. That's another thing you got to learn how to do, is sow into things. Learn how to give. Learn how to sow. That's your key to everything. I especially want to pray for people after service today that have a fear concerning your finances, because God is wanting to set you free from that. So I sowed into that, and I've watched as I've never seen any kingdom entity use social media the way Glory of Zion has. I mean, I am as attached and connected as if I were in Denton and Corinth living there. That's something that God is wanting to help us understand, that all of this stuff that's created, you know, of course it has its demonic side, but it's for the body of Christ to have the kingdom go out around the world till every kingdom, corner of the world is touched by it. So when they bought that land, and then when they were looking at Corinth, every move they have done, I have sown into it, because you always want to sow into the anointing of somebody that's like, the anointing is like yours, but they've already been where you're trying to get to. You want to sow into somebody whose anointing has a grace on it, that you know God is moving with them, that they're godly people. You want to sow into that anointing. That's why I have no problem sowing into this house. And it's not like I've got a whole lot of money, but I tithe. I give offerings. I give first fruits. Not only here, but to Glory of Zion. There are several ministries that I support. And My Widow's Mite does big things. Amen. Does big things. In the spirit, it does big things. You know how I know it's accomplishing big things? When people call and say, the Lord said for me to pay for your dry cleaning. The Lord said for me to leave my car with you, because I'm without a car, Pete, right now. The Lord says, we're going to leave your car with my car with you for a few weeks. And then they say, well, he said another month. He said, oh, just keep it until May. But that's because I'm not being stingy with God. I know he's awesome. So I'm not depending on Social Security.
Right.
Social Security can't take care of me.
Right.
There are too many people that I have to bless, too many things I have to do to be dependent on the United States Social Security system, even though my husband worked for it and it's technically mine at this point. But you can't depend on that. You've got to depend on God's blessing plan, which is tithes, offerings, alms, first fruits. That's your blessing plan. And that's for free. Okie dokie. Don't be afraid. Let's talk about fear for a minute. But first of all, before I talk about fear, I never want to exalt anything the enemy does above the word. So let's talk about what God says about fear first. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I love it in the Amplified. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, cringing, fawning of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm, well-balanced mind. And discipline and self-control.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, spirit of fearfulness, but of power, and I love this, of divine and self-sacrificial love and of a sound mind. I have had, June and I were talking, she had dropped by yesterday, and I have had a week. How many of us had a week this week? But it's like I was telling June yesterday. Hallelujah! If you had a week, one of those weeks, shout hallelujah. You know why? It's God's time to shine. It's God's time for his manifested glory to be on you. For you to be able to say, when they say, well, girl, what's the, you know, you've got all this stuff going on. How come you're not whatever, whatever? It's your time to say, it's God. He's awesome. It's God. He's not given me a spirit of fear and cringing.
Right.
It's God. So if you had a week, you're going to have some more of those weeks. But just remember, it's God's time to shine. God's time to shine. It's the ecclesia's time to shine. It's time for the amalgamation of the oikos and the ecclesia. It's time for a wedding. It's wedding season. It's time for the family and the legislative body to get married in the body of Christ and to do what God would have for us to be, the bride that God would have us to be for him.
Yeah.
But I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for him not giving us a spirit of fear. And also 1 John 4:8 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear has torment. Perfect love. Who's perfect love? Yours? Oh, because I was going to say, we'll be casting out lying demons. Our love is not perfect. Perfect love can only be ministered by the Holy Spirit through us as we surrender to the Holy Spirit. Our love is at best cold and selective and, you know, inconsistent. I learned that even in my marriage, because I was married a year before we got saved. And I know I loved my husband. Pastor Lisa, I know I love that man, okay? Because when I got married, before I got saved, when I married my husband, to me, all other men died. I was dead to everything male when I married him. But when the Lord saved us and the Holy Spirit came into my life, there was a whole new love. and it cannot be explained by words. I'm an English major, and I can't put words on the love that enters you for other people, including your spouse. When the Holy Spirit comes in, it just revolutionizes, it changes, it completely sanctifies. That's what it is. Sanctifies the love. And that's what God is seeking to do in this hour. Deliver us from fear and sanctify the love we have one for another. In the Amplified, it said, I absolutely love this. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear outdoors and expels every trace of fear. That's your relationship with fear as the ecclesia. You are the sheriff that comes with the eviction notice that says, get out and stay out. That's who you are. So when fear comes, and it will come, that's why you see fear not, fear not. Right. There are pages of fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, right, in the concordance. Right. So the fear is going to come. It's just we don't say, come in, can I get you tea? You know, you don't do that. You go out now in the name of Jesus. There are definitions there of fear. Dread, timid, and I loved it when it said, by implication, faithless. Faithless. When you invite fear in for tea, faith goes out of the door. Okay? Fear is misdirected attention. It's paying more attention to what could go wrong. Ah! And I'm not pontificating. I have been there and done this. It comes to me first. Anytime you've got somebody teaching in front of you, if God gave them that word, it came to them first. He had them go through their, get all their skeletons out of the closet. But I am a second generation worrier. Okay, my mom was, you know, if I can remember the first time my sister flew to Colorado Springs because her husband was, her fiance at that time, was going to school there. That was back in the day when you could get on the plane with a person that was flying. My mother went into the pilot's cabin. My daughter is on this plane. You make sure you do what you have to do to keep this thing in the air. She did that. And my mom's not some little country bumpkin. My mom is a very educated, advanced degrees kid. But when it comes to her kids and family, she is a worrier. Just a worrier. So I inherited that thing. But the Lord set me free from that. And he wants to set us free today from fear. Of any kind, any kind. And I believe it was Joyce Meyer that first came up with this false evidence appearing real. But that's what it is. It's stuff that he will come and you've got all these little mirages that he wants to show you that you're headed for. And it's not the real thing. The goal, and it is a satanic strategy. Right. Know that. Yes, know that. I hear people say that all the time. Fear is not, if fear is your friend. No, it's not. Fear is not your friend. When you get that little in your spirit that something's wrong, that's Holy Spirit. That's not fear. Saying, don't go that way, go this way.
Right.
Or with your children when they're talking to you and Holy Spirit is saying, they're lying. That's not the truth. And as they keep talking, there's a light that comes on and go, liar, liar. That's Holy, that Holy Spirit does that one too. Not just don't go that way. But And I tell you, that's your best friend in parenting, especially when they get to be teenagers. You need Holy Spirit. You need your prayer language. This is for free too. That's not my fault. But you need to pray in tongues when you're raising teenagers. You really do. When you pray in tongues, what does it say? That you speak to God, you build up your most holy faith, and you speak mysteries. Mysteries are things that God has not hidden from you, but he's hidden them for you. You're speaking something that maybe 2 years from now you'll need to have revealed. But as you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're saying, but the Lord is. And then sometimes even while you're praying in tongues, he'll reveal it, Dawn. He'll let you know what's going on. This is what you're really praying. When my brother was dying of cancer last year, and I called the intercessors, I said, get it straight now. Don't get it twisted. I would love for him to live a long life. When you're praying for my brother, I want his soul to be saved. I want him to enter into the presence of God with joy. The night that he died, because they put him on life support, that night before and into like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I was up. The Lord said, get up and pray. So I got up and I walked the floor, and all I could do was pray in tongues. And the Lord, I kept this one tongue, this one phrase just kept repeating itself. And then the Lord just said to me, he said, it's witchcraft. And he said, and it's Santeria. I mean, he got real specific, you know. And then we pray a little while. I prayed a little while longer. I say we because it's me and the Holy Spirit. And we'd pray a little while longer. And then he began to tell me about the voodoo that had been placed on him, and how to back it up, you know. You need your prayer language. We're in a season where you need your prayer language. You need that sweet communion with God. I'm all off my notes, but that's okay. God is wanting us because to be empowered in this hour in a totally different level. We've got to get out of kindergarten. We've got to move on. We got to move on because there are nations waiting for us. And you don't have to get on a plane or a train or a boat to go. All I've got to do is look around my apartment complex. There are nations there. But I've got to know how to unlock that thing. I'm doing things that I know to do right now. But I said, God, you got to give me strategy for this thing. So I know the things that God is desiring to give you strategy for in this hour. And the satanic strategy of fear is to keep you so distracted. And that's what it'll do. It'll get you so distracted. And we're already distracted. This is a distracting age that we live in. You know, I can't believe grown folk, as we say in African-American culture, grown folk, that are telling me, all I'm going to do is spend so much time on Facebook. Well, get off. That's simple. Who's in control? Who's in control? I spend too much time watching TV. But you know what it is? It's fear.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're scared to be alone with God.
Yeah.
They're scared to be alone with them. Because he's going to call you on your stuff.
Right.
He's going to call you on your stuff. So you're scared to be alone with him. So you tweet and you Facebook and you text and you're talking to folks you don't even know, will never meet, about stuff you don't have any business talking about. Looking at stuff you don't even have any business looking at. And the whole time God is saying, I want to talk to you. I want to spend some time with you. I love you. And the one that really gets me is when he says, I miss you. I miss you. And God today is saying, you don't have to go through any of that anymore. We can be together.
Yeah.
You can feel my love. You can walk in it.
Right.
You can live in it. How about that one?
Yeah.
This whole thing about us going in and out of the presence of God. How about let's live in it?
Yeah.
How about let's just stay there? Everybody that comes to my home, no brag, just fact. And I Pastor Lisa's been there. It ain't nothing fancy. It's 2 bedrooms, small. The smallest place I've ever lived. But I practice, I cultivate the presence of God in my home. It's felt. I want people when they come in and they come out of that hallway with the cigarette smoke and all that stuff, when they step in 2228, there ought to be a difference. When people step into your home, there ought to be a difference. When they encounter you, it doesn't matter what they're wearing, how they look, where they live, what they're driving. When I stepped into Pete and Polly's presence, I knew there was something familiar about them, and I'd never met them before. The presence of God. And God is desiring that we just contaminate.
Yes.
When I was in Kojic Mainstream Church, that's what the old saints used to say. Be contagious and have something worth catching, baby.
Yeah.
He wants us to be, God wants us to be contagious and have something worth catching.
That's it.
You understand? God is desiring that in this hour. But you can't do that when you're afraid. It comes to distract you and ultimately paralyze you. I have never in my life, and I've been saved 43 years, seen the church as passive as it is right now. We're just so passive. So the enemy comes into our families and does whatever he thinks he wants. He's big and bad enough to do. And it's your job to say, uh-uh, no. See that blood? You see that bloodline? You can't come across that. You're not going to devour my kids. They do. Oh, my husband's dad? Oh, no, they do have a future. The woman at the Social Security office said, well, you know you're a statistic now. I said, oh, no, I'm not. I said, well, my husband was alive making 6 figures. He was not my source.
Amen.
That's right.
I said, and he taught my kids he was not their source. He said, I'm the channel through which the Lord blesses you. If you need something, ask Father God. So when he graduated, we were in good stead. We had somewhere to stand because we'd been taught, you know. But God is desiring for us to grow up. He's desiring for us to know, not be paralyzed in fear. He wants us to be able to not be distracted, because the goal of that is to get you never to get to the place of divine exchange.
Right.
Whenever fear attacks you, know that there is something God is trying to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 2 feet away. And the enemy standing, daring you to move. And it's right there. So you've got to have the eyes of the Spirit to see past the obstacle, past the stumbling block. And know, okay, you wouldn't put this much effort into it if there wasn't something for me. That's going to decrease your power in my life. Know that. Don't get so focused on the stuff that you miss what God is trying to do. The example of that is when Cornelius prayed God gave the answer in Acts 10. Another example of that is when there was extreme need, but there were only 2 fish and 5 loaves. But the provision was there. They could have just said, well, everybody go home. You know, we just don't have any way to feed you guys. And, you know, I could have done that with my kids and said, Well, and don't get me wrong. Hear me now. Hear my heart, because the enemy will use anything to insult people. One of the counselors said to my daughter, well, you could always go to MCC. And she says, well, we've been planning for me to go to Ivy League school since I was four. I told my parents. When she was four, she told us where she wanted to go. So and that's how you have to be careful of coming into agreement with the devil with just even little things. Like the woman at the Social Security office, you're a statistic. Or when I was paying for some cards the other day, I'm at the card shop and my bill came to 2222. And the woman says, oh, that's a great number to play at the lottery. I said, but you know what's even better? Look up Isaiah 22:22 if you've got a Bible. You know, we have to make sure that we are constantly not coming into agreement with the enemy. Because all he needs is for just a little pinhead. And then he just expands greater and greater and greater in your life. And I tell you, we got to be vigilant. We're too passive. We've got to be more vigilant at backing the enemy off just with little things that he comes with, because they build. Succumbing to fear. Back to number three. And this is a big one, because I think that's why I said I want to especially pray for people that have fear concerning their finances today, because that's one thing that spirit of poverty has never had a hook in me, never. Even when I was growing up as a kid, that just never, it didn't, and I think it didn't have a hook in me because it didn't have a hook in my mom. She was divorced when I was preschool age, and she had five kids, and she put us all through school, through college, on a teacher's salary, because she just believed if I'm tithing, you said you'd open up the windows of heaven. I'm not laying on a sofa somewhere. I'm working. My mom worked two jobs. I was married and had kids before my mom worked one job. So she was doing everything she had to do. So God, he was obligated to bless her. She had caused a blessing to come on her life by following God's blessing plan. So that poverty thing never had a hook in me. But if you're afraid to, I don't have enough money to tithe. I don't have enough money to give offerings, alms. I don't have enough money to give first fruits. You give first fruits so the lump will be blessed. But if he can keep you in fear, you're missing just an exponential blessing because you're living in fear over this little bit. Why are you going to hassle about the dime when he wants the 90 to be stretched and embellished and... You know, if you're concerned about that, see my friend June Bergine. She's my hero. I told her I just want to be just like her when I grow up. She is like a living testimony of what God will do in the life of a widow. I mean, she is a superstar in that area. Go see her if you need to talk about that. But succumbing to fear will cause you to forfeit prearranged blessings. This is all in Numbers 13, where the spies were sent out and they came back. The two came with a good report and the rest of them didn't. And the fear is what caused them to forfeit a prearranged blessing, because the Lord already said, I'm giving you the land. Go over and take it. Well, we can't take it. They're big. Well, my kids can't go to college. It costs so much. I have two with $120,000 undergrad degrees before they went to advanced degrees. And there's no bursar's office looking for me, Al. Not one. Not one. But you got to be fearless. Because you're full of the love of God. Not fearless because your flesh is all that and you're tough and you're built like Lou Ferrigno or something. But because Holy Spirit is big in you. Holy Spirit is big in me. So the Lord will bless you if you allow him to bless you. Your prearranged blessings do not have to be discounted. You'll discredit God-given ability. When God has given you the ability to do something and you will not do it out of fear. Out of fear, you will just not move. I can remember the first time I went to Colorado Springs. I had been at Bethel a few months, and Chuck Pierce had come in to minister. And I didn't know. I had been praying through the 1040 window for years, and, you know, you see the name and blah, blah, blah. And so when he came to Bethel, never made the connection, Al, that Chuck Pierce is Chuck Pierce. You know, so he's ministering. Everybody's, I think June had told me, he's really good. You know, you'll really enjoy him. So he comes up to me and he says, you know why you're here at this church, don't you? And it's like, well, why is he asking me that? Is that a trick question? Or, you know, so I said, I think so. And then he went on and we discussed, and I understood and we was in agreement with what he told me. So a couple of days, he's there for 3 or 4 days, and he said, he comes over to me and he says, I've been talking with your pastor. I know that you are a widow and that you got 3 kids in college now, one in a private high school. He says, but I see you traveling with our ministry. And he put a big bill in my pocket, because Chuck's a giver. And he says, and I decree and declare from this day forward, when we call for you, there will be no problem in your getting to wherever we need you to be. So I've traveled with them many times on many teams and never had a problem. But there are times, Peter, when I have left Rochester and had no hotel money, didn't know what hotel I was going to stay in when I got there, no food money. But I'd get there and the Lord would work it all out, because I don't operate in fear, and poverty has nothing in me.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, the first time I flew to Colorado Springs to minister, when I got on the plane, I didn't know what hotel I was staying in, didn't know where the money was coming from. But when I got to Colorado Springs, the money was in my account. And I checked into the hotel, and I was in the hotel with all the speakers. Mom and Dad Hammond, Joseph Garlington, all these people. So we're riding up and down the elevator, and I'm hearing all this blessed stuff. So the Lord just has a way of putting you in the right place and right time when you don't operate in fear. You know what I mean? And even working on the team itself, when I walked into the room, I was like, because I'm talking Bobby Byerly, I'm talking Nancy Cohen. She only prophesies to CEOs. You know what I mean? And I walk in the room and Bobby Byerly lifts me off the floor and hugs me. And she spins me. I was like, this woman is like 25, 30 years older than I am. She's got all this. That was a lesson in itself. But I was just like, okay. And that was like baptism of fire and intercession. I learned so much that first day just being there. And that's something the Lord, he will move you decades into your future sometimes. What it took other people decades to learn, he'll do it for you in minutes or in a day if you don't move in, if you just step out in faith where he's telling you to go. I can't tell you the powerful things that have happened in my life from just, even how I got to this church. I was in Denton at starting the year off right. Al and I were on the team, the prophetic team. And I really had gone there because I was dry. And I did not go to be on a team. And when I walked in, Chuck comes over and he says, see Brian and get your tag so you can minister to the people. I was like, Chuck, I am in such a dry place. I said, I came here to be ministered. See Brian and get your tag so you can minister to the people. So I was obedient. And I ministered to this man, and I didn't realize the person behind him were his pastors. And the lady and husband were, they said, this person was, you were just so accurate, so right on. He really needed that. She said, but I have a word for you. Her name was Alice, and she was from Big Springs, Texas. And she said, Baby, you love leadership. You pray for leadership. You just love leadership. She said, and you don't ever want to do nothing that's dishonoring, but the Lord says it's time for you to leave where you are. And see, the Lord had told me right before I went to Denton, you have less than a year to be where you are. And I said, Lord, you know, you just, especially as a woman alone, you just want to be somewhere. You don't want to be just wandering all over the place. And so we were ministering to the people, and Chuck had asked all of us to turn to someone and share with them something that's on your heart that you need prayer for. So guess who was standing next to me? And so I shared with Al, and I said, but Al, I'm not a wanderer. I'm not a nomad. I said, I got to know where I'm going, you know. So he prayed with me. And later that afternoon, because Al is not going to do anything without checking with God. I know that much about him. And he came back to me later that afternoon, I'm sure after he had heard from the Lord. And he said, you know, we'd be honored to have you come and just rest at Shepherd's Heart. I don't know if you remember that. And it meant so much to me. And I came here in, I think it was late summer. Yeah, late summer of 07 to be just cared for and watched. I drank the water. I'm still here. And I've had to go in and out to care for my mother in Indiana and all that stuff, but I'm still here because this is where the Lord ordained for me to be, and because I was obedient and because I listened to the word of the Lord, I was able to move where I needed to be. But it'll cause you to be, fear will cause you to be reactive to the voices of the fearful. You'll begin to just be a magnet for other folk that are fearful, and then you're all the fearful choir, and then you become the, you know... You know, and you have to be so careful concerning that. And the other thing it will cause you to do is to minimize a mega opportunity. If Glory of Zion had reacted in fear, because a lot of people don't realize Glory of Zion is not some mega church. They're like Shepherd's Heart. They're a remnant doing big things. They're a remnant doing big things. They could have said, oh, buy something on I-95, millions of dollars. How are we going to do that? And now they got that and a Boeing plant. How awesome is God? He's just awesome. And we have to be obedient. And I realize I'm running long. Ah, thank you, Lord. But anyways, it'll cause you to discount your unmatched help. Is God himself. There's no match for God. He's unmatched. He's unmatched. You can bring Superman, the Green Hornet, the Incredible Hulk, Superwoman, Batman, all of them. They're no match for our God. Thank you, Lord. Fear will cause you to divorce your blessing and marry the obstacle. You don't want to do that. Don't get so connected to the obstacle that you disconnect from the blessing of God. This was something the Lord showed me that really, David was anointed as king before he was appointed as king. And in between those two, he faced Goliath. Know that you're going to encounter giants, but also know that God knows that. And he's already empowered you to defeat that giant. The strategy is already there. All you have to do is, just like David did, inquire of the Lord. And by his Holy Spirit, he'll give you what you need to gain the victory. And just always remember, he's not going to send you anywhere he's not there. And he's got your back. He's always, the scripture said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. They're my bodyguards. Goodness and mercy. Quickly, we're going to talk about love. And the main thing I want to establish is that the love of God is based upon him seeing us as worthy and prizing us. The Lord values us. There is I did a contrast in there of the two different kinds because we are quick to employ our phileo love as the love of God, and it's not. We that's really what the enemy has used against us in the last couple of decades, really to defeat the body of Christ on a lot of fronts, is because we just didn't have the love. We just didn't have it. And you can't fake that. You just really can't fake it. And in Galatians 5 and 6, it says our faith worketh by love. And a lot of people think the opposite of love is hate, but it isn't. It's fear. Hate is a manifestation of fear. I hate you because I fear you. There's something about you that makes me feel like you're going to have the upper hand in some way. You're going to be able to take something from me. And a lot of it is just a familiar spirit that's followed your generations, and you really don't even have a logic for it. You're just filtering everything through the lens, your grandmother, grandfather, great-grandfather. It's like I told June yesterday, it's time out for the body of Christ to black folks seeing white folks through the way their great-great-grandparents saw them. And white folks seeing black folks and brown folks. It's time out for that stuff. And doesn't mean that we go move from that to this warm and fuzzy, ridiculous stuff where we say, oh, I don't see color. And when people say that, I say, Lord, they mean well, but just help them. That's like me saying to Rachel and poor Bella, she's got to feel bad, picked on today. That's like me saying to them, oh, what a wonderful baby, but I don't see her eyelashes. I don't see who she looks like or any of that. That's an insult to them. God took great thought in making me brown and having me born in 1950. Mm-hmm. He took great care in placing me in this time and space in my nationality. Yeah. It upsets him when you don't see that. All he wants you to do is say, oh, I know she's brown, but that makes no difference to me. That's what he wants. He doesn't want that mushy stuff that, oh, I don't see color. Well, then you don't see me. You don't see me, and you need to see me. I need to see cool white woman with the spiked hairdo. Dawn wasn't offended by that. She was not offended, and I love her mom, Miss Ellie. I just love her. She's. I say this all the time, and Dawn's heard me say it 1,000 times before. The woman doesn't have a racist bone in her body, and I love it because she's from a generation where there was a lot of that. But she doesn't have a racist bone. And being black, as long as I've been black, you recognize that spirit a mile off. But she doesn't have a racist bone in her body. And she just has the ability to have the love of God just flow. It's in her eyes. It's like I was thinking of her when I wrote that about when you allow the Holy Spirit to minister. It's you don't really have to say too much. It's in your eyes. It's in the way you touch. It's the way you enter a room and make everyone feel valued. It's so important. And God is wanting all of us to be like that. Your faith works by love. If you are believing God for something and it's not coming to pass, check your love life. How are you loving? Are you being cold and selective and inconsistent? Then you know you're trying to minister your love, and the love of God is not being ministered through you. And that's our call. That's our call. When you have the love of God, it's going to manifest itself in the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of this love All of those things that I mentioned, those scriptures on love underneath there, none of them are talking about phileo. None of them. All of those scriptures are referring to the agape love of God. Your faith works by the agape love of God. And only. I want to say this quickly and then I'm going to let you take the rest of this home because we've got, that's why the Lord had me just put everything on paper because it's long. In 1 Peter, it talks about having unfeigned love of God and love without dissimulation in Romans 12 and 9. Again, it's talking about agape love, and that's a self-sacrificial love, a love that puts you aside. You're on the back burner so that you can be a blessing to others, and it's to the point of suffering.
Yes.
Suffering. So you can be a blessing to others. Christians suffer. Without being in sin, they suffer. Christ suffered and he was sinless. And our goal is to be Christ-like. So what he went through, we're going to go through. But he did that so that we could be blessed. This is the love of God and not a love for God. It operates through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's like Mary Beth was singing this morning and kept repeating even as she was exhorting us. It's going to flow like rivers of living water through you to dry places where people are just barren and perishing for water. And Lord, we just say today, spring up, O well. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up. To everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love when I was researching this, the word dissimulation is made up of three parts, and it means to judge and to judge under. And it's what it's referencing is a person that gives off their judgment from behind a mask or they're cloaked. And it really comes over into the English language as the word hypocrite, one who plays a part that he's not, and he does it to deceive. And that's how we've been. I love it. Last week, even, that's why I said that this whole message has been preached already. Apostle Al was talking to us about removing the masks. And that is what the Lord would have us do, is allow his love to come into us in such a way then that I can stand with you barefaced.
Yes, yeah.
You can stand with me barefaced. There's nothing hidden. You're not dodging. You're not hiding, not just from others, but from the Lord most of all, that you can remain and be intimate with him. This is one thing I definitely want to get over to us is that the unfeigned love of God is the source of spiritual authority.
Yes.
The reason why we're not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles on a large scale is because the authority's not there. And the authority's not there because the love is not there. There is a whole myriad of things that we've done. We've striven for it. We've tried to imitate other people. You know, I'll do this. I'll blow on you because Benny Hinn did. You know, I'll shout, hallelujah! Because Bishop Hammond does that. You know, all that stuff. We just try to mimic other stuff that we've seen work for other people. But you don't know how Bishop Hammond and Mom Hammond have sacrificed and, you know, raising their kids and know this and know that. And I think even of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, where she said she cooked out of a percolator coffee pot for years. putting potatoes in a percolator coffee pot because they had no stove while he was in at Oral Roberts. These people have suffered to get to where they are. And then you want to talk like them and think you're going to get them. No.
Right.
No. It's not, you know, you can get up and wave flags like Al and Casey all you want. But have you done what, obeyed like they obeyed? You're not going to get the results.
Right.
You're not going to be able to go into these Muslim nations and have the results that they have because you haven't obeyed. You haven't loved. You haven't suffered yet. So we've got to understand that just you can't buy that thing and you can't imitate it into place. We have to be rooted and grounded in love. Because if you don't walk in love, then you're going to walk in a false authority. And a false authority is rooted in fear. It seeks to control and dominate. And in the body, we've seen that for years. And God is saying, He does not want us responding to fear like that. He wants us to refuse and evict fear. Because if you don't, you're going to walk in that false authority or you're going to be passive. Because that's what it does. You either seek to control everything so it's familiar and control the people around you. And we see this especially in your workplaces. You see that all the time, the bosses that just want to control and keep you doing exactly what you need to be doing so they don't have to deal with anything. They come in on autopilot and they leave on autopilot. Or we will get into a place where we're passive and we don't do anything and the enemy is just wreaking havoc everywhere. Know that the Lord loved the world so much that he gave his begotten son that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And the Weiss translation says, so that whosoever believeth on him would be having everlasting life. Yes. We're already.
Yes.
You'll get that. But I mean, that's enough to make you want to shout right there, that you're already having everlasting life. And in Micah 6 and 8, it says, he hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. And when you are walking with the Lord, you will be persuaded. That's how you get fearless. You get persuaded. You get persuaded, not sight. See, we take on so much of the world's culture. They're psyched about everything. Every 5 minutes, a new thing to be psyched about. But the scripture says in Romans 8:38, I am persuaded beyond doubt. I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things impending or threatening. And isn't that what Satan comes with? It's right there. It's coming. It's coming. Right around the corner. The other shoe is going to drop. Nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Being with God is something that you have to plan. You have to assign time to that. It doesn't just happen. Real quickly, being with God, you must be intentional.
Yeah.
On purpose. You must expose yourself to godly people and content. Oh, the content is so important. What are you looking at? What are you listening to? Who are you with? What are you around? Are you sitting in the company of ungodly, scornful people? You've got to expose yourself to godly people and content that will feed your spirit on purpose. I have a book at home, John Stanko. Remember him, Don, from Joseph Garlington Church? He wrote On Purpose Life. on purpose, living on purpose, I think it was. But it's about just being intentional and on purpose about being with the Lord. A mandatory meditation, Joshua 1 and 8. You've got to consider and give your time and attention to the study and meditation of God's word daily. I know for some people, I'm an English major, so I love words. I am one of those sick people that reads the dictionary. And it's generational because Joshua does it too now. But God, the more you study and read the word, the more you'll want to. It's like priming a pump. You get pour a little water, and then the more water comes out of it, you will love it. Just make sure you make time for that. Prefixed voices. Always make sure you have predetermined people, strong believers, not novices, not folk that are a half step behind you, but people that have demonstrated access to the Lord. God knows who they are. You know, you want, those are the people that you want in your life. And you want them not just when you're in crisis, when everything is going okay. I love our shepherding group. I'm not just there when I'm broke or, you know, because I'm never broke. I've rejected that, even just the idea of that. Never broke. But you understand what I'm saying? Not just when you're in crisis or you're in need of something. You need people in your life that are going to be building you up and speaking and maybe even seeing, as Al did. You know, I saw you have a word for the church. But if I'm not in relationship and he's not speaking into my life, that wouldn't happen. Or whatever it is the Lord is trying to do. Radical discipline. Train your spirit by regularly lingering in the presence of God. I don't even know if Al is cognizant of how many times he's said in the last few weeks, don't be so quick to run in and out of the presence of God. Have you heard yourself saying that? You haven't heard yourself. I make little notes. But you said it again in the regional worship. Don't be so quick to run in and out of the presence of God. And that's the Lord speaking through him. And he's just so accustomed to the Lord speaking through him. He's not making a note of every little thing the Lord says. But he said that so many times. Train your spirit to regularly linger in the presence of God. Exercise your spirit toward godliness and your soul. If you're having things that are just kind of cropping up and you feel like you don't have victory over it, if you exercise your spirit toward godliness and the word, look, search out scriptures concerning that, your soul and your body are going to follow. They must obey. But if you don't, you'll end up in the wrong places, walking away from the right opportunities. You know, and I want to say this especially as a woman, and I can say it because I am a woman. And my husband is in heaven, and there's not a man or a woman on this planet that can tell you whether I'm a man or a woman, if you get my meaning. Yep. Yeah, I understand what I'm saying. But I want to say this especially to women who are alone. You really need radical discipline, and men, and our young people too. They need discipline, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself in the wrong place, walking away from your blessing and walking into a mess. God can cover you. God can cause you to, you know, because my husband died of a massive coronary, you know, so my love life was cut off suddenly and without remedy, Dawn. You understand? You have to be real, okay? But the Lord has covered me. And because I have discipline in my life, I'm not on the internet with ChristianCouples.com. And, you know, all this foolishness. Because I tell you, if you are not disciplined, that is a trap. It's a snare from the enemy. I'm telling you, I counsel too many people that have gone through this. Husbands, and even people that are married that are going through this. You need discipline in your life. But I want to say in particular to those of us who are single men and women, you need that discipline in your life. And if you don't have it, seek somebody out that can help you, that you can be accountable to. I have no problem in accountability. I've been saved 43 years. I'm 61 years old. But when I am not going to be here, I have to go out of town. You better know Pastor Lisa knows where I am. And not only Pastor Lisa, but Chuck Pierce and Joe Knight, who is the pastor there that I am accountable to, they know where I am. I'm not just off somewhere and somebody hears a rumor about me and nobody, and well, Lisa says, well, no, because she wasn't there. She's such and such and such and such. I know that because she, you know, we're in contact. I'm not just off somewhere. You got to be, have somebody that you're accountable to. Fluid worship. Worship cannot be an event. I love the young man that played during the worship service, the regional worship. Worship is a lifestyle for him. It shows. And you know how else it shows? His babies were worshiping before the Lord. That's in their home. You know what I mean? It's not an event. Worship cannot be an event for us. It's got to be a lifestyle for us. And constant contact. Prayer should not be occasional, but constant. Not a monologue, but a relational, intimate dialogue resulting in peace. You've got to go to the Lord and you've got to have a conversation with him. You got to wait in here and hear what he's saying. You can never effectively stand in the face of your enemy unless you have first knelt in the presence of the Lord. You can't do it. He will beat you up and take your lunch and be there waiting for you the next day saying, give it up. And we're in war, people. We're in war. And it's not just about your four and no more. It's for the kingdom.
Yes.
It's for the kingdom. I appreciate your, there's more there because even in preparing, I wanted to order this new Bible, and I ordered and they sent it in 2 days. And I said, Lord, you are really speaking, because when I looked at the flyer, there's a book out called With. So I was able to download some scriptures from there. So that's in there too. But I want to just say today, you are totally forgiven and perfectly loved.
Yes.
You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear the snare of the fowler, because the Lord has set you free. I know that I have run terribly long. Please forgive me. I think it's a cultural thing. No. Because Joseph Garlington could do more with 15 minutes, and I know a lot of African Americans, and 15 minutes, they got you in and done. But I do want to take time to pray for anyone that would like prayer. I will be happy to minister to you. In particular, as I said, any of you that have fear concerning your finances, I just want to, I have an anointing oil that Chuck had sent me called Multiply and Prosper. And I want to anoint your feet with that. So wherever you go, there is enlargement and divine opportunity and promotion for you. But I pray that you've heard something today that has blessed you. I hope Al is not sorry he asked me. Run so long today, but and I just want to say hi, Casey, because I know she'll hear this at some point. I love you, and I pray you're being blessed as you minister to your mother. I do desire that you would pray for me. My mom stopped breathing this week while the nurse was there, and they were able to get her back. She's in the hospital, but as I told Pastor Lisa, she had charged me a year ago with writing her obituary. And I had put it off. I had done a few notes, but I had put it off and put it off. And Monday, the Lord said, write it. So it's written. So just pray for our family and my mom, that my mom would be at peace if this is the time that she's to go. But just pray for us. And know that God is on your side, and above all, know that he is awesome.
Yeah.
Usi ogape, do not be afraid.